Thank you for listening to the Grace Chapel Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our senior pastor, Kurt Henn. For more information about our church, visit our website at gracechapel.cc or follow us on social media at Grace Chapel Ohio.
Our text is Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And so as we come to our passage, we're actually in a transition point in the ministry of Jesus. That is, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, he kind of lived it in obscurity in a little town called Nazareth, and he was a carpenter with his dad. And at 30 years of age, he went down to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist was there, and he pointed to Jesus, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And then he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and when he came up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so listen, that began the earthly ministry of Jesus. And Jesus' earthly ministry was only 3 years. And so here in Luke chapter 9, we're actually at the halfway point of Jesus' earthly ministry. And what we're going to see in our passage today is Jesus is bringing the 12 together, his 12 disciples, and he is handing off, he is beginning to delegate his ministry to his disciples. He's telling them, listen, you've seen me go, you've seen me do, now I want you to do the same. And he is doing that because he knows his time is short. So take a look with me at verse 1 in Luke chapter 9. You should be there. I'm always the last one there. Luke chapter 9. Verse 1, it says this, "And he," that is Jesus, "called the 12 together." Now, there's a few things that I want us to notice as we go through this passage about this calling. And the first one is, if you're taking notes today, the first one is that these were ordinary men. That is, we know in our study, we know that they were tax collectors, there were some political zealots, there was some fishermen. That is, there wasn't anything particularly, special about these guys. They were very, very ordinary. That is, you know what, Jesus didn't send out a recruitment video saying, "Hey, listen, I want the best of the best. I want the cream of the crop. I want the top of the class." They were just ordinary guys. And listen, they were very, very flawed. They were slow to believe. They were slow to understand. And listen, they were constantly fighting with each other about who was most important, about who would be first, about who would be Jesus' right-hand man, who's going to be greatest in Jesus' kingdom. And now I say all that to simply say this. Oftentimes we think that God only calls those who are qualified. But actually, most often, God actually qualifies those whom he calls. And here's the exciting thing. Every single person has a calling on their life. In fact, listen, we are called to be representatives of Jesus, just like these apostles here. We are called to go and do as Jesus did, just like Jesus is calling these disciples to do. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 12, you can see it there on the screen, he says this, "Truly, truly," that is, he's being emphatic about it. That's why he says it twice. This is very, very true. "Truly, truly, whoever believes in me," that is not just the apostles, "whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Now, oftentimes I find that people think that only people inside the church have a ministry, and that's just not true. That is, everyone is a minister of Jesus Christ. Everyone is called to ministry. Now, where you do it may be different. That is, you know, where your ministry is played out and where my ministry is played out may be different, but everyone is called. Everyone is a minister of Jesus Christ. In fact, you rub shoulders with people every single day that I will never have the opportunity to reach. They're not going to go hang out with that preacher guy over there. I don't have that kind of influence. I don't have that kind of clout, but you do. Every single person is called to minister in Jesus' name. Take a look with me again at verse 1. It says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." That is, here's the second thing that I want us to note about this calling, is that Jesus empowered them. That is, he not only called them, he gave them the power to do what he called them to do. Now, that's true today as well. Whom God calls, he equips. That is, with the calling of God comes the enabling of God. Now, listen, that's not always completely evident when a ministry begins, but it will become evident as that ministry progresses and plays out. Now, I have found that it's often that people try to do ministry or they try to do life apart from the power of God. That is, they try to do something in their own effort, in their own strength, in their own flesh. And listen, you can do that. You can accomplish something in your own effort. It will produce something, but it won't last. It won't be lasting fruit. And many people try to live out the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of like, you know, vacuuming your house without plugging the vacuum in. That is, you go around your house with your vacuum, and listen, there's a lot of motion, there's a lot of effort, there's a lot of activity going on, and then you take it down in the basement, and there's more activity, there's a lot of effort. Listen, you're doing things, and you can step back, and others can step back, and they can look, and they can see something. They can see that you vacuumed your house, that you swept your house. There's the tracks that show that you did something, and yet nothing was truly accomplished because you didn't plug the vacuum into the power source. That is to say this, listen, the Christian life is impossible on our own. You need spiritual help. And so it is so important that we understand the power of the Holy Spirit that we have available to us today. That, listen, that the Holy Spirit that was available to Jesus, the Holy Spirit that was available to these disciples then, is the same Holy Spirit that is available to us today to live out our lives and to fulfill the mission that God has given to us. In fact, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls upon you." That is his promise to you. That is Jesus' word. And so listen, we believe that, and then we act we behave, we step out according to that truth. Well, let's take a look at the rest of what Jesus says in verse 2. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. That is the third thing that I want you to note if you're taking notes, is that Jesus sent them. That is, he called them, he empowered them, and he sent them out. And the truth is this, God has sent us out as well. He has told us to go in his power and his authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore." That is us. We are to go because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and we are to go as his sent ones in his authority and his power with his message. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Well, Jesus continues in verse 3. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, no bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics." That is, the ministry that they were called to required faith. That is, they had to trust God at each step of the way. You know, they didn't get the 20-year plan of, you know what, this is where we're going to go, this is what we're going to do, and here's every resource that you'll need, and so, you know, listen, go and do it. That's what we want, right? But they had to trust God each moment, each day, that, listen, in that moment, in that day, that God's power and God's provision would be enough. And so here's the principle. The principle is this: where God guides, God provides. Where God guides, God provides. This is the path of our calling. And listen, it's not easy. It's not comfortable. It can be very uncomfortable. And we are assaulted on every side. But listen, I have found this principle to always be true. Through all the storms that I face, through all the pressures that I feel on a constant basis, through all the battles that come at me, through all the pain, at the end of the day, it has always been true. God has always been faithful to me. And he will be faithful to you as well. Well, Jesus continues here, and he says in verse 4, "And whatever house that you enter, stay there." That is, listen, I would encourage us in this principle, bloom where you are planted. If there's anything that our culture needs to hear today, bloom where you are planted. Be content with where you are at. Listen, lean into God. Be fully where you are. Look to see what God is teaching you right now, where he has put you. Because if you don't, you will miss out on what God is saying to you. Well, Jesus continues here in verse 4. Take a look again. "And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart." That is, there may be a time where God calls you to move. But listen, wait for the cloud to move. You know, wait for the brook to dry up, so to speak. That is, listen, God is not in a hurry. Wait for his leading if he calls you to move. Verse 5, Jesus says this, and wherever they don't receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. That is, listen, in ministry for Jesus that we are all called to. In ministry, not everyone's going to like you. In ministry, not everyone's going to receive you well. Not everyone's going to like what you stand for. Not everyone's going to like the message of what you have to say. And so listen, when you take the hits, not if, but when you take the hits of other people's fear, when you take the hits of other people's rejection, of other people's insecurity, of other people's immaturity, of other people's anger, Jesus says, you got to shake it off. Well, listen, the devil has a different response. The devil wants it to stick to you. So the devil will come and he will want people's comments to stick to you. He will want people's fear to stick to you. He will want the people's hurt to stick to you. But Jesus says, shake it off. That is, listen, you need to release it to the Lord. You need to say, listen, Lord, I bring this hurt to you. I release it to you. I bring this person or these people to you. I release them to you. I release my need to be right. I release my need to get back at them. Lord, you love everyone perfectly. Lord, your judgments are always right. Mine aren't. You have promised you will make all things right. So I can just release it to you. I can give it to you so that stuff does not stick to me. And fill me with your life. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your joy and your peace anew. And listen, you do that as many times as it takes until it doesn't stick. That is, listen, the enemy will strike, but no weapon formed against you will succeed. And so Jesus says, shake it off. It kind of reminds me of when Paul was shipwrecked in Acts, and he was just out collecting sticks to build a fire, and so he's out collecting sticks, and a venomous snake bit him, and he just kind of shook it off and, you know, brought the sticks back to the campfire, and everybody around the campfire was just waiting for him to drop dead because it was a venomous snake that bit him, and he should have been dead. It should have been down and out, and Paul just shook it off. Well, listen, I have found in my life, in my ministry, the enemy has struck me. And from a human standpoint, I should be done. From a human standpoint, my ministry should be over. And yet, here I stand by the grace and power of God. Because Jesus says to you and me, listen, shake it off. Verse 6 concludes, and they departed, and they went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That is, listen, Jesus called them. He empowered them. He sent them out, and then here's the amazing thing. They were obedient. And God used them mightily. And so my heart cry has been for myself, for us this week, that we would do the same. That, listen, that we would realize that we have been called by Jesus. That we have been empowered by Jesus. that we have been sent by Jesus, and that our response would be to believe that, to be obedient to that, and then to let God use us mightily in this moment. And I say that because what a great opportunity that is before us. I mean, this is a historic time in history. I mean, what greater time for us to be shining the light on Jesus? That is, listen, we are all having crazy conversations. You know, the world is on fire, so to speak. There's chaos and confusion everywhere. And so we will have those conversations with people. The door is absolutely wide open. And so listen, as we have those conversations, what if we're on point? What if we're focused and we say, listen, you know, now that we're done talking about that, now that we're done, you know, airing our fear or our frustration, whatever it may be, listen, can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can pray for in the midst of this difficult time for you? You know, can I pray for God's peace? Or are you afraid? Can I pray for God to enter your life and give you peace? Are you freaked out about your finances? Can I pray that God would reveal himself to you and provide for you in a supernatural way? Can I pray for you that God would invade your situation in power to heal you, to restore you, to help give you wisdom in a conflict? Listen, the door is wide open for us to just in a very easy way point people to Jesus. I have never, ever had anyone refuse to let me pray for them. Or maybe as you're talking, you can say this, you know, I don't know how you're getting through this thing. I know how I am. I'm only making it because of my faith. I can only make it because I can pull away and I can set my eyes on Jesus, and he gives me grace and power and strength to make it through each day. And man, I don't know if you know him, but I would love that you would experience that too. I would love to pray for you. We have an unprecedented opportunity. And listen, I am eager to gather together. I'm frustrated about the constraints that we have, and we are planning our strategy to reopen. I'll say that here in a moment. But what I don't want us to miss is the opportunity that is before us to not get weary because it's been a while, but to realize we have an opportunity as the church scattered right now to be called, to be empowered, to be sent, and listen, seize this opportunity to be greatly used by him, because that's God's plan. God's plan for all this chaos, God's plan to be light, God's plan to advance his kingdom in our country, all that stuff, you and me. And listen, we might be able not to solve all the craziness out there, but we can touch the people around us. We can speak about Jesus to those around us. We can minister in Jesus' name to those around us. We can pray a blessing upon those around us, believing that Jesus will reveal himself to them. Because listen, if they're open at all, he will come in and he will have fellowship with them. Let's pray.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more sermons like this, visit us online at gracechapel.cc.